Good morning, everybody, and it's a good bit of wee with you this morning. I've been here once before, and so it's like returning to those who I have known before. I bring you the greetings from the Central Baptist Association. You might not know, but I'm the moderator of the Central Baptist Association, of which, of course, you are a part. So I bring you greetings from everybody, from Jeff and all the team and everybody in our association. And we're really pleased about your settlement, and we look forward to all that that will bring for you. The scripture that we're going to look at this morning is, indeed, as Hilary's already said, from 1 Peter chapter 2, and it's the whole chapter, and we're going to share in reading that now. Rid yourselves, therefore, of all malice and all guile, insincerity, envy, and all slander. Like newborn infants, long for the pure spiritual milk, so that by it you may grow into salvation, if indeed you have tasted that the Lord is good. Come to him, a living stone, though rejected by mortals, yet chosen and precious in God's sight. And, like living stones, let yourselves be built into a spiritual house, to be a holy priesthood, to offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. For it stands in Scripture, see, I am laying in Zion a stone, a cornerstone chosen and precious, and whoever believes in him will not be put to shame. To you, then, who believe, he's precious. But for those who do not believe, the stone that the builders rejected has become the very head of the corner, and a stone that makes them stumble, and a rock that makes them fall. They stumble because they disobey the word, as they were destined to do. But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's own people, in order that you may proclaim the mighty acts of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Once you were not a people, but now you are God's people, and once you hadn't received mercy, but now you have received mercy. Beloved, I urge you as aliens and exiles to abstain from the desires of the flesh that wage against your soul. Conduct yourselves honorably among the Gentiles, so that though they malign you as evildoers, they may see your honorable deeds and glorify God when he comes to judge. For the Lord's sake, accept the authority of every human institution, whether of the emperor as supreme or of the governors as sent by him to punish those who do wrong and to praise those who do right. For it's God's will that by doing right, you should silence the ignorance of the foolish. As servants of God, live as free people, yet do not use your freedom as a pretext for evil. Honor everyone. Love the family of believers, fear God, honor the emperor. Slaves, accept the authority of your masters with all deference, not only those who are kind and gentle, but also those who are harsh. For it's to your credit if, being aware of God, you endure pain while suffering unjustly. If you endure when you are beaten for doing wrong, where's the credit in that? But if you endure when you do right and suffer for it, you have God's approval. For to this you have been called, because Christ also suffered for you, leaving you an example so that you should follow in his steps. He committed no sin, and no deceit was found in his mouth. When he was abused, he didn't return abuse. When he suffered, he didn't threaten, but he entrusted himself to the one who judges justly. He himself bore our sins in his body on the cross, so that free from sins, we might live for the righteousness. By his wounds, you have been healed, for you were going astray like sheep, but now you've returned to the shepherd and guardian of your souls. Let's pray together. Lord, may the words of my mouth and the thoughts and meditations of all our hearts be acceptable to you, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. The Saturday before last, I was invited by a couple of friends who live in St. Albans to go with them and to see the procession that happens through the town on the pilgrimage of St. Albans Day. Now, I'd never heard of this. I live in small Haddenham, and St. Albans is sort of over there. And so I was looking forward to the day, looking forward to having it with my friends, but also to wondering what this St. Albans Day pilgrimage was all about. And we went down into the town, and I don't know how many of you know St. Albans, and maybe you've been to the St. Albans Day Festival as well. But as we went, there were crowds packing the main street, which I think is called St. Peter's, and then on into the high street, and then on up the hill to where the abbey is. And it started off at St. Peter's Church at the end of St. Peter's Street. And I was amazed by what I saw. And I was really moved by all that happened. It happened, as it were, on a pilgrimage. It happened in four places on the way. And it told the story of St. Alban. And I really didn't know a lot about St. Alban, but what I learnt was, again, really moving. And they had, I don't know how many of you have seen those sort of large, huge puppets that they have in pilgrimages in Italy. Have you seen that sort of thing? Well, that's what these were. So you had St. Alban, huge. You had the Roman soldiers. You had other significant people, Amphibalus, who was the priest who St. Alban exchanged with, and I'll tell you a bit about that in a minute. And they all processed down the road, and at each significant place, they did what happened to St. Alban, and then they prayed. And it was fantastic to see, you know, all the people on the streets being quiet at the moment of prayer and taking it all in. And the story is that Alban was an ordinary British citizen, if I can say that at that time. Anyway, he was an ordinary bloke, and he no doubt worshipped Roman gods, because we're in the time when the Romans occupied Britain. And one day, there was a furious knock at his door, and there outside was a priest, a Christian priest called Amphibalus. And Amphibalus was terrified because the Romans were after him and they wanted to arrest him and to execute him. And he just knocked on this house. He didn't know who it was. And Alban brought him in and hid him and had some time with Amphibalus. Now, just reckon how Amphibalus was. He was vulnerable, he was scared, and yet somehow, through him, Alban saw the characteristics and the likeness of Christ. And he wanted to do something for this guy. Anyway, he hid Amphibolus until, of course, there was another knock on the door, and this time it was the Roman soldiers. And they came in and they said, "We're looking for this priest." And by that time, Alban had put on the priest's habit and he said, "I'm the priest." And so they arrested him. They arrested him and took him out, and eventually they took him up the hill, and just where the abbey is on the hill, they executed Alban because they asked him to recant, to give over his faith. And he said words to the effect of, "No, I'm a Christian and I will not give in to the emperor." And off with his head. And so he became the first martyr for the faith in England. And that's why he's known. And I was very moved by several things about this story and just seeing it all acted out in the streets and the quietness of the people when it came to praying about the different aspects of Alban's life. It really got me. And it was that here was a new Christian. You know, Alban hadn't been a Christian until Alphabanus came in his door. How he was prepared to go to the stake for a faith that was very in its infancy, as it were, and how somehow God had used that priest in all his vulnerability to see in him, from Alban's perspective, something about the holiness and the characteristics and the marks of Christ. It really got to me. And as I came to prepare for this, that all came back to me this week. Because I think there's something of this in this passage. For as I approach the passage, it speaks about holiness, but it also belies many of the myths I think that there are around holiness. Holiness can be so misrepresented. I really liked what Steve said. As he came out, because I think some of those things echoed in what I am going to say. You see, holiness isn't being pious. It isn't being sanctimonious. It isn't being private either. Holiness isn't a private thing. And it doesn't set us apart from the messiness of life. There's something about, we've been singing about God being holy, Jesus Christ being a holy person. And we don't have to, as it were, go all out. We are the recipients of the holiness that is Christ. And so we need to be very grounded, I think, in what we say about holiness. The passage is encouraging us in our call to holiness to a real engagement with society and culture at large. That's where we have to be making our impact with our holiness, but not as stuck-up people that are keeping above all this stuff in life, but those who are very much in it. The illustrations that are used by Peter in this passage are very down-to-earth illustrations. He talks about building. He talks about being built into Christ, who is the cornerstone. A building, something that's strong and foundational, but very much here. You're in, you know, amongst buildings. This is where Christ is built in, and you, us, we are built into it. Talks about having the milk, the spiritual milk. You can't get more grounded than milk. We have it from our birth, from our mothers, or however we had it, and we continue to be sustained by it. And it's the milk of Christ that we have, and he sustains us in our being and growing in holiness here on the ground. And then it goes on to speak about suffering and being wounded as Christ did for all to live. And so that's how we may encounter suffering and pain, but we encounter that, and it's how we deal with it, in order that others may live. It's not in this passage, but I value Eugene Peterson's translation of the Bible. And in the prologue to John's Gospel, John chapter 1, in that bit that speaks about Jesus coming to earth and dwelling with us, he translates it as Jesus coming to earth and moving into our neighborhood. Moving into our neighborhood. Holiness is being totally holy where we are and not with our heads in the clouds. Holy living is to emulate Christ. And where was Christ? He was right here. And where did he exercise his ministry? Right here. And where did he show the love and the holiness of Father God? Right here. It's by being ourselves in our Christ-likeness, which is holiness, that we will have an effect. Being changed ourselves, but being transforming in our neighborhoods for Christ's sake. And that's here in Seer Green or wherever else you are throughout the week, wherever you are. Well, this is fine. It's all good words, I hope. But let's get to the nitty-gritty. What does that actually mean in our day-to-day living? What does it actually mean when we get up out of bed tomorrow? Well, I think the first verse gives us a little guide into that, particularly at the moment into our current situation where emotions are running very high in all sorts of ways that I don't think any of us have expected. But it says here in verse 1, as it goes on, rid yourselves, therefore, of all malice and all guile, insincerity, envy, and all slander. What I think it's saying there is in our ordinary intercourse with other people on a daily basis, you must, by your words and your actions, be Christ-like. That is being holy. Emulate the marks of Christ in your daily living. So, you know, there doesn't have to be any point scoring. You need to have integrity about yourself, where you are, and a right view of who you are. The child of God, infinitely important and loved by God, but also recognizing that we are all sinners as well. And out of that, to live your holiness. And always be growing. None of us have arrived yet. All of these are Christ-like characteristics which will be honing your holiness. Yesterday, I don't know if any of you were there, but yesterday was the CBA, Central Baptist Association Assembly, in Milton Keynes. And so all the churches from throughout the association came together, and as well as having time as an association for our annual general meeting, we also had Rupert Lazar, who's our present Baptist Union president amongst us. And his theme for the year is anointed to do good. Anointed to do good. And once again, as he began to sort of pick that apart, he was speaking about, you know, never weary in doing good. And this is something I think still to be bound up with our holiness. You know, our holiness will shine through our ability to be good in the world, to be good where we are. I'm always very taken with what Paul says. You know, we are a sweet-smelling perfume for the people around us. When you go into a room, when you go into the office, on the factory floor, wherever you go, do people think that you're a sweet-smelling perfume because of the holiness that you exude, because you are Christ-like in all your being? When I say you, that's you plural, because I include myself. We have a unique contribution to make, particularly at this time. Somebody said in their prayer over here about the fact that we need to be those who show that we have a solidarity in Christ. And whether everything is chaotic out there, in Christ we will be sure. Not cocky sure, but sure and steadfast. Because, as the passage also says, you belong to a unique community. Verse 9, a chosen race, as Hilary said, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a holy one, set apart for God and his will, but not set apart from society, set apart to be in society. And you have that joy of drawing people into to the love of God. You are a unique community, but not exclusive. Not exclusive. You're not drawing a line around you. In fact, you are pushing out to others. And then there is within this holiness element two other biggies that Peter speaks about, two other big words. And that is that we need to be honourable and righteous, to show and live justly and fairly amongst everybody. It says that in verse 12, but also in other places, that others may see your honourable deeds, not to say, oh, how good we are, but to glorify God when he comes to judge. We are in this to glorify God, to show God to others. And this is such a high and not always easy calling, this holiness business. It's tough. And it'll be tough in the present climate even more, I think. But we can't opt out of it. We're not given that choice. We're right there in it. And we, through Christ, will have an influence on all things. Honour everyone, says verse 17. This is a really big verse. Honour everyone. Love the family of believers. fear God and honour the emperor. And I take that to mean honour those who are in positions of power in all sorts of ways. Give them their honour too, but in a Christ-like way. George MacLeod was the founder of the Iona community. He was a Presbyterian in Scotland, and he ministered, in Govan in Glasgow. Don't know how many of you know Govan, but it's not the most prestigious part of Glasgow. It's very poor. He had a real heart for the people. He was a very saintly man. And his holiness shone out of his work amongst the poorest of the poor. And one day he went into a church in Govan, and he looked up at the fantastic glass stained window there. And it was of angels, and they were singing, "Glory to God in the highest." Only some wag had gone along with a stone and taken out the E in highest, so it read, "Glory to God in the high street." And that's just what he wanted to say to his people. That's where, through your holiness, through your Christ-like living, that's where the effect will be, in the high street. Not holed up in this building, but in the high street where you conduct your everyday living. That's where the rubber hits the road. That's where your holiness will show. It's the specified place for us to be holy, not with each other in a cozy way, but in the high street. And my final point is that this holiness will be costly, as it was for Christ. He stood for justice. He stood for love. He stood for salvation and wholeness of life for all. And it took him to the cross. Peter tells us that. Tells us about the cost. Tells us about the suffering. Tells us about the death. And of course, if we are his people, we too may get wounded like he was. Please God, we won't go to our deaths, but we don't know. We don't know what's going to happen to any of us. We know that thousands of Christians today are put in that position. So it may be. But it is through our coping with that, with the Christ-like attributes, the qualities that we do it. Isn't this amazing, these words that Peter says? When he was, that this is Jesus, when he was abused, he didn't return abuse. There on the cross, he didn't slag people off. When he suffered, he didn't threaten. What did he say to those two thieves who were with him? To the one, "You'll be with me in paradise today." He didn't slag off and say, "You know, you deserve it. I don't. I'm sinless." But he entrusted himself to the one who judges justly. He entrusted himself to God, who is the ultimate holy one. Suffering for others on others' behalf, suffering with them in their daily lives, is all a part of our call to holiness, our call to Christ. And it's how we live within that, how we deal with it, that others will see something of the love and the peace and the strength of Christ. I could go on, and time is beating me, but Peter's letter and this second chapter that you gave me packs quite a punch. And there's so much more that I could bring out of it about our holy living. But we can see here God's people in Christ growing into this call to holiness. As Hilary pointed out right at the top of our worship together, none of us is holy, but as Steve, I think, rightly pointed out, it's something that we are given and that we live within. We're never going to be perfect this side of the grave, but we are going to try and emulate Christ with the Spirit's help to have that fruit brought out in us. Alban learnt it really quickly. He was prepared by what he saw in Alphabanus to give his life to Christ and for Christ, or almost at the same time. And that's what people need to see in us. So we pray for strength, determination, and love to be like our Saviour in the days to come. Let's take a moment of silence, and then I'm going to pray. Lord, your word from Scripture hits us at different points. We take different things from what we read and what we hear. We pray today that we might have heard and seen what you want us to hear and see for our walk with your Son and for our growing in holiness and Christlikeness. Lord, sustain us in all our works and ways this very week, wherever we are found to be. Help us to be humble and just and true in all that we do and in our engagements with people. Strengthen us in our growing in holiness and righteousness. And fill us always with love and peace and joy for serving you. Into your hands we commit ourselves for our lives. And in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.